We have fallen into the bad and unquestioning habit of thinking that our educational system is broken, but it is working on all cylinders. What our education system aims to produce is cultural amnesia, a wholesale lack of curiosity, history-less free agents, and educational goals composed of content-free processes and unexamined buzzwords like critical thinking, diversity, ways of knowing, social justice, and cultural competence. Our education system produces solipsistic, self-contained selves whose only public commitment is an absence of commitment to a public, a common culture, a shared history. They are perfectly hollowed vessels, receptive and obedient, without any real obligations or devotions. And this week's opening quote comes from Professor Patrick Deenan. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. You know, mind control takes many forms, folks, and mind control is very, very prevalent in the modern world, and of course, where that mind control begins is with our education system. Our education system is very, very careful to mold people's minds into a particular way of thinking and lead them away from any type of self-discovery or any type of real creative input that they may want to offer themselves. Any creative input that they offer must fit within the parameters designed by the education system, or it is simply not accepted. And not only that, it is usually browbeaten out of the student. They're sort of presented with the authority of the teacher and asked, how dare could they ever ask such a question? If it isn't in the textbook, then you should not go down that path. It's as simple as that. And if it is in the textbook, then you should not question it, because it is in the textbook. Therefore, it is not to be questioned. This is the type of mentality that is drummed into children at a very early age. And of course, this is the basic platform for the mind control that is to come after, and the mind control that is to follow right through the education system, which has gotten worse and worse and more like a open mind control system than an education system. In the last few decades, folks, it's really become quite apparent that it is no longer even pretending to be an education system, but is merely an indoctrination system. They get young creative minds into the education system, and they train them what to think, and then they pump them out into the world as good, obedient little drones. And that is the purpose of the education system. And anybody who thinks outside the box is vilified and put into a position where they will just never get anywhere in life, because we do not want critical thinkers, we do not want creative thinkers, we want obedient drones. And that is what the system is producing. But not only that, it's producing obedient drones that are quite empty and void of any type of creative thought. People who don't know the most basic foundation of reality, kids who don't know where butter comes from and don't know where honey comes from. I mean, this is quite absurd, folks. I've actually gone through an education system that don't know where butter and honey come from. So what sort of education have they actually been receiving? The education system has been highly effective at producing a lot of empty portals, folks, and this spells a very dangerous future, because a lot of the kids that are coming out of this education system just don't have the capacity for critical thinking. And even large sections of the general public don't have the capacity for critical thinking. We've seen that with the enormous amount of distractions that we're seeing on the internet at the moment. A lot of very rigid belief systems that are being pushed out and put out there for people to adopt. And of course, people are accusing anyone who doesn't adopt their belief system of lacking critical thinking, when really it's the adoption of the belief system which would indicate a lack of critical thinking. Again, we see this type of reverse psychology that comes into play so very often with the way these issues are presented to people. And these sorts of belief systems are perfect gatekeeping mechanisms, folks. They're perfect at locking people into one particular paradigm and preventing them from looking at things holistically. You know, you must believe what I believe, and if you do not, then you lack the ability to think critically. Of course, the statement is absurd and cancels itself out, but the people who adopt this type of attitude very much stand by what they believe and become very aggressive with anyone who doesn't then jump on the bandwagon and adopt their own chosen belief system. We see this in all religions, and we've seen this type of attitude played out and orchestrated to perfection in the Flat Earth movement, for example, in which any questioning is simply outlawed and banished. As I said, folks, mind control takes many forms. You know, use of such words as denial and doing things such as accusing people who don't adopt the rigid belief system outlined by the doctrine as lacking critical thinking should always be red flags for people. This is, of course, traditionally the way these sorts of concepts have been promoted. Folks, we see it in such issues as climate change, where anyone who questions the official line is accused of climate change denial. And we see it with the Holocaust, where anyone who questions the official numbers or the figures at all is labelled a Holocaust denier. And you should question any group which labels you as a denier if you are simply someone who questions the official line that the group is pushing. This should be a red flag for anybody, folks, because truth does not fear investigation. It does not fear questions. It stands as its own defense. You should always ask questions, folks. The fact that truth does stand as its own defense means that you should never be afraid to ask questions. You really should question everything that's told to you, and most especially, you should question anyone claiming to have authority over you. Because authority is one of the biggest myths of all time, and it is something that is so deeply ingrained in people's minds, yet it is something that is completely and utterly fictional. And you've got to question that, folks. What is it that causes us to give our power away so readily and so willingly? And of course, this also can be traced back to the education system and the mind control that people have been subject to. And it's the same even with the use of such words as denier. Someone can call you a climate change denier or a Holocaust denier or a flat earth denier. It works very much to cause people to give their power away and to concede with the authority that's presented to them, because if it's going to be pointed out to you that you're a denier, then it must mean that what you are denying is a foregone fact that is not arguable in any way, shape or form. And that, of course, is not the case with any issue, folks. All issues are debatable in some way. And if you are to be called a denier by asking questions or refusing to go along with the official line on a particular issue, then I would suggest that that issue has a lot of skeletons in the closet, and there are a lot of things that it would like to prevent you from looking at, and a lot of questions that are simply being brushed away. You should always remember to think for yourself, ladies and gentlemen, and the more someone is pressuring you to think the way they do, then the more you should question and the more you should think for yourself. You know, this whole situation that we are in and the reality that most people even experience is very often a collection of other people's ideas and other people's beliefs and other people's suggestions of what reality actually is. There are many people who never travel, who never really get out that much, and who view the world from their television screens or their computer screens, and they form these opinions based on the opinions of others, and they latch onto whatever belief system they can identify with, usually whichever one makes them feel more comfortable, and they usually go with that. And they're very often basing their entire concept of reality on second and third hand information that comes from people they've never even met. Always think for yourself, folks, and don't allow yourself to be led. Even with the things that I offer you on the show here, as I've been saying for 8 years since I came on air, all I'm offering you is my perspective. I'm not asking you to believe what I say. I'm simply offering you my opinion, my perspective, based on the information that I've gained access to and been able to look at. And it's important to understand this with all speakers and all people who present you information in the independent media, is that what these people are doing is offering you their perspective based on the information that they've looked at. Very often these perspectives are rooted in belief systems, and it's important to realize that as well. Many people do have belief systems, and they associate any information they present with their belief system, and they present that perspective to you. And it's important when looking at all of this information to always remember to think for yourself and to keep an open mind. Don't just jump on a bandwagon because it's popular. Don't just believe something because a lot of people are saying it. Look at it for yourself. And don't just investigate it online. Take your experiments and your research into the real world and see how it stands up against reality as well, not just how it stands up in virtual reality. There's a whole world outside the computer screen, folks. There's a whole world outside your front door. And if you choose to participate in that world, you can truly find out some wondrous things that your computer simply will not tell you. Of course, a lot of the problems that we're facing today, a lot of the issues that we see as far as mankind goes, are the result of training. And again, this comes back to mind control, especially in the younger generations that are coming out of school now. As I said earlier, these are virtually empty portals that are coming out of school, kids that are demanding the entire world be laid out for them and are quite willing to argue with anybody. They simply don't respect their parents. They don't respect any of the elders at all. They're coming out of school with the opinion that they are the top of the grade in just about everything they do and that the world should serve them. Many of these young kids are lording over their parents these days, and if the parents try to exercise any authority or teach these kids the right way at all, then the kids will go back to the school and complain, or complain to the teachers. And very often the government has provided systems whereby the kids can leave their parents and just go away and live with foster parents, because they'll get a plasma screen TV and a new computer and have all the things that they want, and they can then go out and destroy their lives the way the government wants them to do. The government has been very intent on breaking down the family unit. This has been going on for a very long time, folks. This is why women were introduced into the workforce as well. It wasn't to give women equal rights. It's to make women taxable and to break up the family unit, to move the parents away from the children so that the children can be in the control of the state at a much earlier age and spend much more time in front of teachers or the television and get programmed the way the government would like them to be programmed. And we're seeing all of this coming to a head now. So it's very important that the older generations start taking the matter in hand, because the younger generations are simply not going to have the capacity to establish freedom if we allow things to continue to go down the path that they are. Even the young kids, folks, they don't remember a pre-9/11 world. They don't know what it was like to have any semblance of freedom in the world. They can't remember what it was like before the police state came online. Even my son, who's 22 years old, can't really remember what the world was like before the September 11 attacks. He was simply too young. And that's the danger that we're facing. The kids that are coming out now and the people that are coming out have a world view which simply does not have freedom as part of it. It's something that has never been part of their experience, something that they've never even experienced to a small degree. They've always lived in a totalitarian world, and they just accept it as being the way things should be. And it's very important that we point out to them that it is not the way things should be. And it's extremely important that we address the situation of the criminal cabal that has done this and has taken control of this world. It's very important that we call these criminals out for what they are and have these people held accountable for their actions. Criminals like Hillary Clinton, career criminals, mass murderers like Hillary Clinton, like George W. Bush, even Barack Obama, who's killed literally dozens of people, hundreds of people probably, with his illegal drone strikes, 90% of which have been civilians. I mean, all of these people need to be taken from power and held accountable for their actions, and it's our generation that needs to do this, folks. And you can see the wheels falling off the system more and more all the time now, folks. You've got Saudi Arabia actually accusing America of carrying out the 9/11 attacks. Of course, America is also accusing Saudi Arabia of having a hand in it, when we all know that the real culprit is, in fact, Israel. Elements within Saudi Arabia played a part, of course, but it was probably minimal at best. I mean, they did supply the names of the 19 patsies that were used. But really, the true culprits in the 9/11 attacks, if one is to believe the evidence, are elements within the United States and Israeli governments. But of course, Saudi Arabia and Israel are joined at the hip at the moment, because Saudi Arabia can see that it's about to be wiped off the slate and taken out along with all the other Arab nations, and it's attempting to appease its overlords by kowtowing to Israel all it can. And of course, the Saudi regime is an absolutely hideous regime. Its human rights record is absolutely abysmal, but as is the human rights record of Israel. In fact, these two countries are actually quite similar. It's just that Israel does it very covertly, whereas the Saudi regime is just openly abhorrent. but they are very much supporting each other in the Greater Israel Project at the moment, and they are both turning against the United States to some degree, because they've realized that they don't really need the United States anymore. They've already milked all the wealth that they need out of it. They've got all the weapons that they need. They're very, very well set up now. The American people are in a terrible state, and the United States is so far in debt now due to its support for Israel's wars. And all of these wars have been wars for Israel, folks. All the wars that the United States has been involved in since World War II and even World War II have been wars that it's fought for Israel. And that even goes back beyond World War II, folks. We could get into a whole history class over this. But the whole of the United States foreign policy has been controlled by the State of Israel for a long time. And now that they've milked all the wealth they need out of the United States, we're seeing these countries starting to turn against each other. But again, it's just theatre for the masses. And really what it gives us, folks, is an opportunity to stand up and call this whole criminal system out for what it is, you know. And I'd really like to see that. I'd like to see the whole world simply down tools and say we've had enough of this criminal system, enough is enough, and we want to end this, and we want some accountability from these criminals that have run this world into the ground. That's what I'd like to see. Whether and when it will happen, well, that is another question, and that depends on us. But again, one of the big problems, one of the big things that holds us back is mind control and people's inability to think for themselves. I mean, this is very well demonstrated in the vaccine programs as well, folks. Look at the logic that's used with vaccines. I mean, that's mind control taken to perfection, isn't it? You've got people who vaccinate their children who claim that unvaccinated children are a threat to their vaccinated children. It really doesn't make sense, because it would be the vaccinated children who would possibly be carrying a disease and not showing any signs of it because they're vaccinated who would spread it to the unvaccinated children. So it's completely reverse psychology and absolute mind control. I mean, it's an argument that cancels itself out as soon as you state it, and yet people provide all of these scientific reasons why such is the case, and really they're simply not using their brains. It's just that they've been fed this whole mind control soup from the medical industry and the government, which justifies this backward logic that they're applying to vaccinations. It's quite incredible, but it's a very, very good example of how effective mind control can be. Just about everything government indulges in is mind control, folks. Even the word government means mind control. Gubermente, the Latin, means control mind. And that's basically all government does, is it feeds a false reality to people. It feeds a false hope to people. And it feeds a false belief in authority to people. That's what government is, folks. It's a criminal organization that indulges in mind control every moment of every day. You've got a bunch of barefaced liars and banksters puppets up there basically selling us all down the river. I mean, Malcolm Turnbull in Australia is Goldman Sachs, ex-investment banker. He does not give a flying hoot about the people of his country. All he's interested in doing is supporting corporate corruption. He's a war criminal, needs to be arrested. You look at David Cameron in the UK, I mean, he's the same. He's not an ex-investment banker, but he's just a total sociopath and psychopath who had to do all the terrible things he did in the Billington Boys Club in order to get the approval that you need to be part of the clique that runs for Prime Minister. You got Barack Obama, a man of dubious nationhood, who gets the Nobel Peace Prize simply for being elected president and then goes out and carries out more death and more drone strikes than anyone in history. And you've got all of the corrupt leaders of Europe indulging in the same activities, folks. And even when you look at Russia and the countries that are playing themselves off against the United States, this is all theatre, folks. It's theatre for the masses. You know, we don't have anyone on this earth who rules us, folks. And as soon as we learn that and step into that, then we're going to change things. As soon as we learn that we don't need governments to look after us, what we need governments for is to govern infrastructure, not to govern people. Integrity has no need of rules. What we need is a proper education system that teaches children to be empowered in what they do and empowered in the knowledge of themselves and to exercise their creative potential. You know, to help them to find what their creative potential is and to nurture that seed within them. Help these children find what it is that they are good at and what it is that they love to do and help them excel in that, because that is what will create a better world. We don't need people who are structured and moulded to support an economic model which is basically destroying our environment, because that's what's happening. You know, we're being used as tools, as mechanisms, as little cogs in a big machine that is being used to destroy our world. And we're all participating in it via our failure to ever really lift our eyes from the grindstone and actually look around. Of course, many people don't do this because they simply don't have time to do so, because they're kept in such a state of scarcity and the bills are always kept rising and rising and rising, so that they have to work harder and harder and harder, and more people in the family have to work just in order to pay the basic bills and keep the house online. And this has happened very gradually as well, and people don't seem to notice it, folks. I mean, back when I was a kid, my father could work 4 or 5 days a week and make enough to support the entire family. And now you need the entire family working 6 or 7 days a week in order to just meet the basic bills. It's ridiculous. And of course, all this is done while we're funneling endless money and weapons into the Middle East, into countries such as Israel, so they can continue to fight their wars and kill as many people as possible. It's just ridiculous, folks. People have to wake up and stop participating in this system. And what is it that keeps them participating? Well, ultimately, it's fear, isn't it? It's fear of paying the bills, fear of being put out in the cold, fear of actually having to stand up against the government. And unfortunately, this has been promoted and able to grow to the extent that it has because people have also had a fear of their environment instilled into them, a fear that there may be a terrorist around every corner or that the guy next door is a crackhead. So people are afraid to get to know people in their community. They're afraid to get to know their neighbors. They're afraid to let their guards down to people. And they simply haven't realized that were they to put that fear away and actually get to know the people around them and get to know their community, the community that they live in, and get friendly with these people and get to know who these people are, then these people would have the ability to then all stand up together and address the criminals in the local council or local government that are running the slavery system in your area. You know, common unity in a local community can achieve incredible things, folks. And until we get this unity and get these grass fires lit and started and burning all around the world, we're not going to get anywhere. And the first step is empowerment of yourself and acknowledgement of the beauty of the people around you and the value of the people around you. You know, if you think you can go this alone, folks, and are just prepared to discard your community in the fight, then you have just discarded your greatest asset. We really do need our community around us, and many people simply don't see the value of the people around them and what they can contribute. You know, everyone can contribute as much as you're contributing, folks. If you connect with them, you can make this happen. Simply by empowering them, you can make it happen, folks. Simply by leading by example in what you do, you can make a hell of a difference in your community. With that in mind, of course, we have created the Full Circle Project so people can start grass fires in their local community and form action groups in their local community. And we're actually having a symposium for the Full Circle Project again next week, folks, next Thursday. I'm not sure exactly what the time is offhand. That's a little bit slack of me. I should have found out what the time was before I came to air. But if you check the Full Circle website, the website is fullcircleproject.net. You should find a link there for the symposium. And if you are a member of the Full Circle Project, please do check the website and please come along and join in the symposium that will be held next Thursday. That is US time, so I imagine it will be Friday sometime if you are someone who happens to be in Australia. But we've got a few ideas we'd like to share, and there's a few initiatives that we'd like to share as well, and we'd like to field a few questions from people if you have any. And we'd like to hear what people are up to as well, and just find ways we can push this forward and little actions we can take in our own community which are going to make a difference. So please do come along to that. Again, folks, that is next Thursday, and I'll get some details and post them on the Crow House as well. So keep a lookout for that one. But look, we can make a difference, folks, by realizing the sort of systems that are being used to control us, and ultimately it's all mind control, the whole thing. The fact that we just don't feel empowered is mind control. The education system is mind control. The fact that we believe we have to seek remedy within the halls of government is also mind control. You know, our government is run by criminals, folks. It really is. Just the fact that Hillary Clinton has just won the Democratic nomination in the United States. I mean, this is incredible. This shows you just how corrupt and how dysfunctional the political system is. You've got a career criminal, absolute psychopath, who's been elected basically on a platform of creating more war, and she's just managed to steal her way into the nomination in the United States. It's very doubtful that anyone actually voted her in. I'd say that they just flipped the ballots the way they wanted, and we always knew they were going to do this. We always knew that Hillary was going to be the one who won the nomination simply because she's the one that attends the Bilderberg meetings, and she's the one who is corrupt enough and psychopathic enough to really push the agenda forward, no holds barred. She will do as much as she can to bring about the destruction of the divine feminine during her term. And God knows what state the world will be in if she does manage to make it to the Oval Office. But again, folks, not even the fact that she's made the nomination, but just the fact that she was even allowed to run should show people how dysfunctional the US political system is. I mean, like I said, Hillary Clinton is a career criminal. She's had so many murders just coincidentally happen around her. She's responsible for the massacre in Benghazi. She's responsible for the debacle in Libya. She's responsible for so much blood and tragedy in the world and the death of so many thousands upon thousands of people that this woman should not only be not allowed to run for office, but if international law was going to count for anything at all, she should either be in jail or she should have been taken to The Hague and hung already. And so that should show people just how dysfunctional the US political system is, and it should demonstrate exactly why it is so necessary for people to stand up and step into their power and reclaim this world for humanity while they still have the chance. Well, I think we've reached break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now, and we're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today, and I will speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, look, it may seem quite depressing, some of the information that's been brought to you on the show today, and indeed, some of the recent shows may appear to be quite intense for a lot of people. I admit, back when I first started broadcasting back in 2008, I always kept the shows very empowering. I kept the shows always about energy, about how to improve the human condition and how to do the inner work and all of this sort of stuff. And there's still a lot to be said for all of that information. But the reason the shows have taken on kind of a new feel in the last year or so is because the situation has gotten quite desperate. It really has. You know, unfortunately, all of the predictions that we were making 5 or 10 years ago have virtually all come to fruition in 2016, folks. We've really seen a ramping up of this system to an incredible degree, most especially in countries such as Australia. Incidentally, they've just brought in legislation that is coming in June this year, I think, this month, the new Biosecurity Act of 2015, which comes into effect, as I said, in June this month, which gives the government the power to restrict the behavior of individuals in order to manage listed human diseases. According to the wording of the Act, an individual may be required by a human biosecurity control order to receive specified medication, including A, a special vaccination, or B, a specified form of treatment in order to manage the listed human disease specified in the order. This is absolutely outrageous, folks. This allows forced vaccinations, medications, quarantine, and jail, and it reverses the evidential burden to defendants rather than to the prosecution, who will now be responsible for presenting evidence to court. And if the intent of the legislation is solely to protect Australians from diseases, then why was this change necessary? And to quote Richard Boyle, there is an obvious potential for misusing this biosecurity law to target activists. Thus, it is arguably one of the most significant and draconian pieces of legislation to pass through the Parliament during the term of the current government, and most notably with bipartisan support. This is absolutely disgraceful, folks. It really is. This basically gives the government the ability to detain any activists they want and simply pump them full of vaccines or essentially administer a lethal injection to these people and simply claim that they died or went into a state of autism or mental blankness due to a reaction from the vaccine. And of course, if it's due to a vaccine reaction, then there is nobody who can be held liable. This is absolutely insidious legislation, folks, and it shows just how corrupt and how treasonous the Australian government is. I mean, this is forced medication. This is a gross violation of human rights. This should see the entire Australian government arrested for treason and human rights violations. This shows exactly what a disgusting little cretin Malcolm Turnbull is and how disreputable and how corrupt and disgraceful is his entire cabinet. And indeed, all of the politicians in Australia who have supported this blatant corruption, this blatant attack against human rights, and this blatant depopulation agenda. This is absolutely disgraceful, folks. If the people do not stand up and do something about this, then again, Australia will be lost. This is simply another nail in the coffin of the free world. All brought to you by the wonderful Malcolm Turnbull regime. And folks, if this is happening in Australia, then you can guarantee that it's coming to you very soon. Because that's the way they run it, folks. They just run it to see what they can get away with. And my lord, they are certainly getting away with a lot of things in Apathralia, and they will continue to do so if the people of the country do not stand up to reclaim the rights that the government is attempting to subvert from them. And of course, the question people need to ask in all of this as well is, where is the media on this issue? Why is the media not reporting this travesty of justice to the people, this infringement of human rights to the people, this treason to the people? Why is the media not even alerting the people to the fact that this corrupt legislation has been put forth? And of course, it is because the media is just as corrupt as the government. The media, in fact, no longer serves as the watchdog of government that it is supposed to be, but is now simply the unofficial mouthpiece of the government and simply sells the government line to the people at every chance that it can and obfuscates the truth at every opportunity that is available. The media truly is disgusting, folks. The media truly is just as complicit in crimes against humanity as the corrupt government and corporations and banksters that the media now serves. Because that is who it does serve, folks. It certainly does not serve the people, not in any way, shape or form, and it certainly does not serve as the watchdog of government, which is what it is essentially mandated to do. In fact, the media currently stands in gross breach of trust and gross abuse of its charter, even more than government. Simply because without the media pushing the propaganda on the people, the government could never get away with the crimes that it currently commits. Again, and as I've asked so many times in the past, where is your line in the sand, folks? How much are you prepared to take? And at what point does standing up against this system become self-defense? Because really, any action we can take against this government now becomes self-defense, because this government is in the process of attacking the people of Australia. They're attacking the people of Australia via their paper-based reality, the legislation that they write down on paper that they claim to be law and they claim to be real, and yet they do not adhere to their own paper-based reality. According to these politicians, these people whom we employ to manage things responsibly for us, for we the people, according to these criminals, they are above the very legislation that they inflict upon us, and they claim to get the power to do that from us. These people are out and out criminals, ladies and gentlemen, and you, the people of Australia, are currently under attack from your government. And it's the same with the people of England and the same with the people of the United States, all of the people in the EU, and most of the people in Western countries. We are under attack from the very people we have employed to protect us, ladies and gentlemen. It's a full-spectrum attack. In Australia, they're polluting the groundwater, they're introducing forced medication, they're polluting the skies, they're enslaving people to debt, and they are, with this new Biosecurity Act, essentially preventing people from leaving the country and giving the government the ability to selectively murder activists, or at least incapacitate activists, and essentially anybody who disagrees with them, anybody who will not allow toxins to be injected into their flesh at the whim of a bankster's puppet, anybody who will not back down to the terrorist thugs that our domestic police forces become. All of these people will be targeted by this regime if the people of Australia don't pay attention and stand up and do something about this. We need a national strike in Australia. The entire country needs to down tools and call this criminal government out for what it is. We really need to do this, folks. We can no longer expect to find any remedy from politicians. Even voting for any of these criminals is a joke. You know, what politician are you going to vote for, folks? Who is it who is going to uphold their promises? Who is it who is going to roll back all of this corrupt legislation, this fascist legislation that's been introduced by the Turdful regime? Who's going to do this? And who's going to stand up and be a man, or be a patriot, or be a decent citizen and put out arrest orders for Malcolm Turdful and his ilk for the war crimes and the crimes against humanity him and his government have perpetrated while this unelected prime minister has been in power? We need to get this little turd out of power, folks, and we need to have him held accountable for his actions and held accountable for the corruption that he has exhibited while he's been in office. An office that, once again, he did not get voted into, but was simply appointed by a party which abused the office that they held by dismissing the Prime Minister that the people had voted for. You know, it's so corrupt, folks. It's such a puppet show, and it is such a corrupt farce that it's a wonder anybody would even bother voting for anyone who's running for office in the Australian government. Why don't you just go right on your form, vote withheld pending a suitable candidate, because we certainly don't have one at the moment. You know, what we are in desperate need of in the world today, folks, is unity and focus. Unity and focus. If we had those two things, there are enough people in the independent media to nip this system in the bud very, very quickly. There are enough people in the world who are awake to reality now that we could actually make a difference if we were to put down all of our differences and simply unite as one movement. Now, I've been saying this for the last 8 years, and I've traveled as much as I can and met as many people as I can and participated in as many discussions as I'm able in an attempt to create some sort of unity. And so far, all I've found is division. People with their own agendas, people wanting to push their own concepts, no one who is prepared to see the value in those around them. Well, very few people. Anyway, I have met a few people who are prepared to look at the world that way and who do see the value in their fellow man. But honestly, I can count the number without going above single digits, and that is quite disappointing. You know, there's so much division in this movement, and there's so many conflicting ideas and so much infighting in the movement. There are so many people that waste their time attacking each other rather than turning and facing this system. There's so many people who waste time putting forth their opinions and claiming their opinions to be rock solid and based in fact, and that this is the only fact that everybody needs to know, when everybody has an opinion, everybody has a perspective, and to claim any one opinion is more valid than any other is completely counterproductive and only serves to create argument and infighting. And that has been one of the huge problems that we've faced in any response that we've attempted to mount towards this system. And we've got to put all of this stuff down. We've got to realize what an opportunity we're facing here. We are right on the knife edge right now, folks. We are quite literally on the cusp of a new reality. And that reality is going to be either a very fruitful and abundant reality, or it's going to be a totalitarian nightmare. And it depends on the response of the people to the situation that we're facing. And if we can't get some unity in this movement, we can't get some unity in this response and some focus in this response, then we're never going to get anywhere. And all we're going to succeed in doing is locking this place down into a prison. You know, at the moment, I'm staying in Peru, and where I'm staying, it's actually quite tense at the moment. There's a bunch of invaders that have moved into the land next door. It started off as about 60 people, grew to about 100 the next day, then 120, 150. Now it's up to about 300 or 400 people who have moved in, basically to steal the land right next door to where I'm living. And these individuals are armed with machetes and light weapons, and they've actually been quite threatening towards the place that I'm staying at. They've been starting fires to clear land in very close proximity to the land where I'm living and threatening the fence line of the property where I'm staying. The police have been called, but they want quite a substantial amount of cash to come and sort the situation out because, after all, it is Peru. I'm currently here broadcasting to you with a 12-gauge pump-action shotgun in my room just as a deterrent for anybody who might come knocking. And it's really brought the situation home to me of how tense things can be. You know, the mob mentality that I've witnessed in the last week has been quite frightening. The way a mob can quite easily be egged on to do things that normal people would not do. And it really has brought a lot of things home to me about what Western countries are facing if we do not pay attention and put down our differences and turn to address the situation that our governments are creating. Because it's our governments that are creating this situation, folks. Make no mistake about that. It isn't the people. It isn't the criminals on the street. It isn't the drug trade. It isn't this. It isn't that. It's all been created by design via legislation that's been enacted by governments. It's been a slow pushing of the people, a slow tiptoeing forward of totalitarianism, a slow removal of the rights of the people, a slow turning up of the temperature, turning the heat up, pushing the people a little more, and all the while disempowering the people while you do it, making sure you instill that fear into people, that fear of government, that fear of authority, and that feeling of powerlessness into the people. You need to instill a feeling of powerlessness, or the people may stand up. And that's what they've done while they've slowly turned up the screws. And it's got to the point now where the people really do need to pay attention. Because we still can turn the world back into a far better direction than we're going. It would be very easy to do. We don't have to go down the path that is being laid out for us. There are other options if we would only pay attention. And unity is the key. We've really got to stop fighting amongst each other. We've got to stop blaming each other for problems that we're facing. We've got to stop blaming each other for our own issues. And we've got to create some unity, and we have to create some sort of a groundswell of positive, conscious movement towards reclaiming this world for mankind. It's the only way we're ever going to have a viable future. But we have to pay attention, and we have to respect each other in order to do it. The important thing really is for people to see how they're being played. People to see how they're being played off against each other. See how they're being divided. You know, divide and rule. That's the motto, folks. Divide and conquer, divide and rule. And we see it everywhere in the world today. And it's all the result of mind control. The fact that everything they tell us is backwards. Everything they tell us has an agenda. And most people who bring you information also seem to have their own agenda. Well, very often they do. I mean, to be fair, there are a lot of very good voices in the independent media. There are a lot of people who are out there attempting to bring information to you because you need the information. There are a lot of people out there that are trying to make a difference, but there are also people with an agenda. And the system most certainly has an agenda, folks. Like I said, everything they tell you is backwards. Take a look at the most recent terror attack that's just been staged in Tel Aviv, where 4 people have been killed. Just looking at the scene, there's no kosher cleanup of blood. Jewish people believe that their soul exists in their blood. And if a Jewish person is shot or stabbed, if the blood hits the ground, that blood must be collected, it must be taken, it must be blessed, and it must be buried. If you look at the scene that we've just been presented with in Tel Aviv, there's a couple of bodies lying on the ground, there's no rabbis around, there's no Jewish cleanup of blood. It's very likely that this was just a couple of Palestinians that were brought in there and shot as the victims, and a couple more that were shot as the perpetrators. And Of course, we see coming from Israel as a result the call for the ethnic cleansing of 300,000 Palestinians from West Bank. One rabbi is saying that they should leave none alive in Palestine. This is the mentality of the Jewish extremism that we see out of the rogue state of Israel, and of course it's presented to the world under the perfect cloak of mind control that it is the Palestinians who are the terrorists, when it is really the Israeli forces that have been carrying out terrorism for years upon years, and the occupation of Palestine, which is the main source of all of the problems that we see in the area. And again, it will be the people of West Bank and Gaza who suffer the consequences of this action. But everything is backwards, folks. It really is. You know, and I've been doing these shows for 8 years now, and I just have to wonder sometimes, is anybody listening? Is anybody really listening to the message? Is it getting out to people? Are people sharing the information? Or are people simply looking for something that is more entertaining? This has been a big result of the Flat Earth movement, folks. It's a very, very entertaining issue to look at. You know, it's got all of the things that people love to look at. I mean, the whole concept that the Earth could be flat, the whole concept the Earth could be hollow. You know, it's like those old Jules Verne movies of Journey to the Center of the Earth or Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. Something that's right here that we can get our teeth into on this terrestrial world that we live on. Something that we may be able to get our teeth into, the hole to the center of the planet we could discover, or the tunnel to the bottom of the ocean, or the big ice wall surrounding the flat earth. These are things that are very, very appealing and very, very entertaining to people. And it's been extremely disappointing to see the wave break and the response to the system become so divided and so distracted, and how so many people have been funneled off into an area of entertainment rather than an area of action. And it's been quite remarkable to see how much the powers that believe they be have taken advantage of the situation and ramped the police state up to such an incredible degree since this distraction came on the scene. And it just makes me wonder how much people are listening and how much people are really paying attention to the world that they live in. Whether people are really prepared to act, or whether they truly believe that there is this one big fix that is going to save them without them really having to do anything. You know, maybe there is one simple fix, one big thing that's going to change things, but if that's true, then I think it has to come from within. I think it has to come from people changing their perspective and changing the way they interact with the people around them, changing the way they perceive and interact with the system. That's what I think is going to bring about change. I don't think that there's anything that people can do which will serve to create a situation where they simply get a newsletter to say that the world has changed now. I think that anything that we do has to come from within, and people have to participate on the ground in their own communities. They have to change the way they interact with people. Change what's in their hearts. Realize that there is nobody who controls them. They have to shake off the mind control that's been foisted upon them. The mind control that they've been subject to all through the education system, and the mind control that they're subject to every single day through the media, through the television, and through the work that they do, just through their everyday interaction with people. You know, very often I wonder if people question their own thoughts. I wonder how many people realize that some of the thoughts they have may not actually be their own. You know, very often the ideas that we present to people when we have discussions are simply stuff that we're parroting from the television or the newspapers or books that we've read or whatever. Very few of the ideas that people present seem to come from themselves, to come from their own hearts. You know, if you go and ask someone, who are you? And they'll tell you, I'm a plumber, or I'm a baker, or I'm a pilot, or I'm a whatever. But no, that's what you do. It's not who you are. You know, a lot of people don't know who they are. They identify themselves by what they do, by what they own, by what they have, by what their social standing is. They don't really know themselves and who they are. They've never really asked themselves that question. And again, it's due to mind control. It's due to people being given a false perspective of what they should be and what it is to be human and what it is to be a member of society. But people are worth much more than what they've been taught they are. And human life is much more valuable than the way it's treated. It's much more valuable than the value that government puts on it. You know, government doesn't put any value on human life, folks. They don't. And if you think that they're bombing other countries to protect human life, then you've got rocks in your head. This is not what they're doing. They're destroying human life, and they're squeezing us out of existence while they're doing it. And they're using the bombing of other countries and the threat that that is posing to our countries as an excuse to remove all of our rights from us. Now, the things the Australian government are doing now are completely insidious, folks. The concept that these criminals can even mandate that they can forcibly vaccinate or medicate anybody they want, this is absolutely disgraceful. This is disgusting. It's disgraceful. It's one of the worst crimes you could possibly perpetrate against humanity. You know, at least going and bombing people, blowing them up in Syria, at least you're killing them immediately very often. Sometimes I suppose they're being horribly maimed. But at least when you die quickly, you die quickly. But to be injected with vaccinations and to be incapacitated by these criminals in government just on whatever whim they want to cook up, this is absolutely outrageous. And it's a real slap in the face for humanity. And it's a slap in the face for Australia if the Australian people do not stand up and call this out for what it is. It really is a terrible, terrible thing that this government has done. And people have to listen. You know, looking at the world and looking at all the research and trying to figure out what's going on this mess that we call reality, it's all very interesting, folks, looking down these rabbit holes, but it becomes too much like entertainment for people because although it's interesting and it's entertaining to find out all of these unusual facts that you didn't know, we have a real and present danger that we need to address. And if the research that you're doing isn't leading towards solutions and isn't causing you to stand up and see the necessity of you getting yourself into action and motivating the people around you into awareness, then what are you doing? What is the research that you're researching? Where is it leading you? How is it going to free us from this situation that we are in? You know, we have a real situation here, folks, and we have a real opportunity for mankind to step into their humanity and to step into their power. That's what this time in history is. And once we do that, then we have the opportunity to find out what's really going on. We have the opportunity to create the world that we've always wanted to have. And I can see it so clearly, a world of abundance, a world where everybody was looked after, a world without war, a world without poverty, a world where everybody got along with each other and we simply didn't have a problem, a world where we were free to express our creative potential and to reach the incredible levels of consciousness and creation that humankind is capable of reaching. I can see that world so clearly at our fingertips if people could simply put down their differences and pay attention to what is going on around them. And I can see how easy it would be for us to do this, folks, and that's why I sometimes wonder, is anybody really listening? Is anybody actually getting the message and putting it into practice in their community? Because that's what we need to do. And I'm not saying I have any particular message that is any better or any more worthwhile than anybody else's. But if we can't stand in respect for each other and create some unity and stand in our power as powerful, valuable human beings and simply call this system out, then what hope do we have for any type of movement or any type of change that anybody wants to instigate from any point if we aren't prepared to first use that as our foundation? We have an opportunity here, folks, and I really do hope that we step up to the plate and claim our birthright. But look, I think we've reached the end of the show here, folks. I'm going to have to leave it there for now. Thank you to all those who continue to listen to the show. Thank you to all those who've subscribed to the Patreon account to support the Crow House and to keep this show on the air. And thank you for all the wonderful email and kind words that people continue to send me. But that is it for me now today, folks. Thank you for joining me on the show today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. And please take very good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.